Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we had a conversation with Devin about that certified Angus beef. Man, that guy knows what he's doing, but man, did that make me hungry, right? And here we are. So let's talk a little bit about some beef on the grill.
Yeah, some more food, man. Let's just get hungrier.
Right.
We need some better-made chips here right now. We need something to instantly solve my growling stomach.
Right. We'll get on that.
Yeah.
Well, that sweet heat would be good.
So beef loin on the grill, what do you do with that?
Well, I tell you what, it's delicate. It's not difficult, but it's delicate. You do not want to cook it too fast, and you certainly do not want to overcook it. I lean towards roasting rather than grilling when I get that, because that beef loin, now there's the tenderloins and there's the loin. One is about half the diameter of the other. I'm going maybe like a baseball versus a softball, right, in the diameter of those. And let's do the big one, because that's the beef loin that everybody knows about. And to me, you can do it two ways. You can do it slow cooking and put a sear on it on the end, or you can sear it on the front end and then set it off the heat and bring it up to internal temperature. The latter is the one I prefer to do, is put a little crust on the outside of it and then go to indirect heat, leave the lid down with a thermometer and bring it up to, I'm a medium rare guy, right in the center. Some people will like it a little more towards medium on the ends. You'll get that depending on where you put your probe for temperature. But let the meat do the work, right? I don't need it seasoned tremendously heavy. And then the biggest thing that I would always recommend to anybody would be put a thermometer in it, monitor it, know that when it comes off the grill, it'll go up 4 or 5 degrees, it'll continue to cook. So stop yourself at 125, you get 130, medium rare beef. Okay, that's my take. What's yours, brother?
Yeah, well, that's one way. Of course, you can reverse it and do what you call a reverse sear, in which you simply put it on your grill in an indirect fashion or a smoker, and run the temperature up to whatever you think. Now, I'm probably going to say 110, and then I'm going to crank my heat up, and I'm going to throw it over on the direct fire, and I'm probably going to baste it a few times right before I do that with just some liquid and maybe a little more salt and touch of something, I don't know.
Garlic,
depends
pepper,
on what I'm feeling
whatever.
Like going with at the time. But and then run, get a nice crust on it that way and get that center of that thing. I'm going to stop at 132, 133, somewhere in there, and just pull it. It's not a real big piece of meat, so you'll find typically your temperature won't rise as much as like if you do a butt. You know, I'd say you could go up 5 degrees with a butt, and they don't always do that either.
You're talking about after you take it off the
feet. Yeah, they don't always jack up. I mean, I know it's widely talked about, but I tend to find, like, briskets in particular might raise 2 or 3 degrees, if anything. So I think some of that theorem is almost overworked. With a loin, I don't think it's going to go up much at all. So I'm going to bring it to the temperature I want it, maybe 2 degrees under, and park it in some foil and give it about 20 minutes and then let those juices recirculate in the muscle and then slice it up nice.
Right. And this is just the slice, the horizontal across the no bias, no anything. We're just cutting steaks off that baby from one end to the other. And whatever thickness you like to serve your guests.
Yeah,
right?
And you could put a bias on it if you wanted. Yeah. It makes for a nice presentation.
Right. Lays it out in kind of a little stack.
Sure. Yeah.
Rather than a steak. So it all depends how much of it you have, how many people you're,
Yeah, so, and then you might even want to make up a little au jus or some kind of a
compound
bernaise or something with that and put something on it.
That's where your salted butter, maybe a little bit of onion powder and some blue cheese mixed into a butter and then roll it back up so you can cut little discs. As soon as it's hot, you just throw one of those discs on top of that.
Well,
if
you go to thegrillingguys.com and you look at the last week's post where I made those oysters Rockefeller, look at the compound butter recipe for that. And I'm going to tell you that that mixture for all kinds of things is cool.
Right.
And here's what I liked about it. I put green onions in it and spinach. And
chopped finely?
And bacon.
Ooh.
And it was, yeah, I fried up a bunch of bacon and crumbled it and chopped it up. I chopped up spinach. I left it raw.
Right.
Even though a lot of guys will cook it. And I put some green onion in there, the whole thing, chopped up real finely, and some sea salt
And the butter.
That's basically it.
Right.
Garlic. There was fresh garlic in it, too. And, that was just tasting the butter was fantastic. But if you put a slice of that on a steak, I think it's going to look really cool because of the spinach.
Right. So
you see all this stuff coming out.
Yeah. 30 seconds of compound butter. You're going to soften three or four sticks, two or three sticks, how much of it you ever want to make.
Yep.
You mix in the ingredients that Bob just said with a spatula in it, like a mixing bowl.
Yep.
Then you take it out, put it on wax paper, and roll it up into a
big
ball.
Tootsie roll.
Yeah, big Tootsie Roll, right, the length of it. And then you just cut off little discs of it to serve on the food.
Or big discs.
So this is no longer Diet January is where I'm going, right?
So I just think that one in particular, it's the first time I ever did it that way, and I was a little bit afraid of it. But I knew it would be safe because I was putting it underneath Parmesan and panko crumbs, and there was going to be so much junk on the oyster, you wouldn't notice if you didn't like the butter. I kept taking little samples of the butter and just literally eating them off the stick. So short ribs El Perfecto. This is really easy. And here's how you do it. You get some short ribs, right? We go to Sobey.
Are those beef or pork?
Beef.
Right.
Short ribs are always beef, right?
Right.
Technically. Wipe the ribs off. I rinse them and then towel dry them. Then combine these ingredients, and it's going to be brown sugar, garlic powder, onion powder. I put tahini in this. It's not a traditional recipe. I'd take it to a little bit of a Mexican profile, and kosher and thyme and cayenne. And you just make your rub up like that, you know, if you want to grind it down a little bit. And then you rub those ribs. You throw them on your grill in an indirect fashion. And I'm going to run that grill temp up to about 250 or 300. Then I'm going to probably run them for about 3 hours, maybe 3.5. Get them to the tenderness you like. And you can do it in the oven. You can do it in the smoker. I think, you know.
Any man would love that.
Yeah.
It's time for some man law. Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Yeah, today's man law. A man will always help his fellow man move. This sucks. We all know it, but it's part of manhood.
Absolutely. Because you know what? There will come a day when you need that favor back, and that's as simple as it is.
Yeah.
On the ribs, the short ribs El Perfecto, how do I know when those are done? Bob, they shrink on the bone, but if you overcook them, they're too dry. If you undercook them, they're a little tough. What's the magic there?
Right. I think if you stick to the 3 hours, you're going to be pretty close. There's so much fat on them. It's pretty hard to, in my opinion, to dry them out within 3 or 4 hours. So I think if you stay under 4 hours, you're probably going to be pretty good. You might want to get a little beef broth and baste them if you notice they're drying up because of the way you're cooking them.
It's indirect cooking, though.
Yeah, indirect, right? Or roasting.
Right.
Yep. Or in a smoker. If I'm putting them in a smoker, I'm going to put smoke to them for only about an hour. And then I'm going to jack my temperature up enough to run the smoke off or not put any more flavor wood on,
right.
Something like that. But they're awful good.
Oh, yeah.
I love them.
Yeah, brisket on a stick, right, is the other name for those. And you'll know when they're getting close to being done because that meat shrinks down the bone, and the actual rib bone, there'll be more of it exposed than it has meat on it when they're done. So coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about maybe some freezer bird that you might have that's lingering around from this fall, and we help you cook some of that up. Stick with us. We'll be back.